A reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. Mark. When Jesus had crossed again in a boat to the other side, a large crowd gathered around him, and he stayed close to the sea. One of the synagogue officials, a man named Jairus, came forward. Seeing him, he fell at his feet and pleaded earnestly with him, saying, "My daughter is at the point of death. Please, come, lay your hands on her, that she may get well and live." Jesus went off with him, and a large crowd followed. There was a woman afflicted with hemorrhages for 12 years. She had suffered greatly at the hands of many doctors and had spent all she had. Yet she was not helped, but only grew worse. She had heard about Jesus and came up behind him in the crowd and touched his cloak. She said, "If I but touch his clothes, I shall be cured." Immediately, her flow of blood dried up. She felt in her body that she was healed of her affliction. Jesus, aware at once that power had gone out of him, turned around in the crowd and asked, "Who touched my clothes?" But his disciples said to him, "You see how the crowd is pressing upon you, and yet you ask, 'Who touched me?'" And he looked around to see who had done it. The woman, realizing what had happened to her, approached in fear and trembling. She fell down before Jesus and told him the whole truth. He said to her, "Daughter, your faith has saved you. Go in peace and be cured of your affliction." While he was still speaking, people from the synagogue official's house arrived and said, "Your daughter has died. Why trouble the teacher anymore?" Disregarding the message that was reported, Jesus said to the synagogue official, "Do not be afraid. Just have faith." He did not allow anyone to accompany him inside except Peter, James, and John, the brother of James. When they arrived at the house of the synagogue official, Jesus caught sight of a commotion, people weeping and wailing loudly. So he went in and said to them, "Why this commotion and weeping? The child is not dead, but asleep." And they ridiculed him. Then he put them all outside. He took along the child's father and mother and those who were with him and entered the room where the child was. He took the child by the hand and said to her, "Talitha cum," which means, "Little girl, I say to you, get up." The girl, a child of 12, arose immediately and walked around. At that, they were utterly astonished, and he gave strict orders that no one should know this, and said that the little girl should be given something to eat. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
The Gospel, take away our sins. Promised yesterday that we would get today in the first reading the great therefore. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, all those who have persevered in their faith to the Lord despite tremendous sufferings, since we're surrounded even by all the saints who, after the birth and the death of Christ, have continued to persevere, we need to rid ourselves of every burden and sin that clings to us, that holds us back, and then persevere in running the race, not in sort of gently meandering the gift of life, and running the race that sets before us, that lies before us, keeping our eyes fixed on Jesus, the leader and the perfecter of the faith. Many of us have had the experience with young kids. Even when we were young, if we can remember it, younger brothers and sisters, nieces and nephews, sons and daughters, of watching them with their first steps, being across the room, having them keep their eyes on us and start to walk. They may trip every once in a while, but what an exhilaration it is for them as well for us when they're able to crisscross that room. The Lord is waiting on the side of heaven for us, his little children, to make that walk, to make that run. But in order for us to be able to do it, we need to keep our eyes on him. And it goes on, for this, putting the example on Jesus, for the sake of the joy that lay before him, he kept his eyes on his Father. He endured the cross, he despised, he spat on it, shame, taking his seat at the right of the throne of God. Continues how he endured such opposition from sinners in order that we may not grow weary and lose heart. He shows us how to persevere without quitting. And then it finishes, what are our major obstacles? There may be persecution, that was the context of the letter to the Hebrews. But minimally, even if we don't have Pontius Pilate and Herod's and various other persecutors in our lives, we do have the devil, who is worse than them all and who never sleeps, which is why he says, in your struggle against sin, your struggle against the temptations that face you, you have not yet resisted to the point of shedding blood. So don't say, woe am I. Look at how much I have to battle in terms of my temptation. It is less, the letter of the Hebrews says, than being drawn and quartered or covered with wild animal skins and torn to death by dogs or flayed alive or burned as a living lamp or crucified or racked or even decapitated. We can do it, he says, just like so many of these ordinary men and women who had faith did it before us. Keeping our eyes fixed on Jesus, our leader, the perfecter of faith, the one who shows us with faith results in. We turn to today's gospel. What was it about these two incredible miracles that really allowed them to occur? On the one hand, we clearly have Jesus' power. But on the other hand, we have those who kept their eyes fixed on Jesus in faith. Jairus came, synagogue official. Would have been incredible. Jesus was already persona non grata. The Jewish authorities didn't want to have anything to do with him. He was a renegade rabbi without qualification. And yet because he loved his daughter, he went to the Lord and begged him to come. And Jesus, of course, did. Later on in this miracle, when they would come with that incredibly heartbreaking news that your daughter's dead, why bother the teacher anymore? Jesus told him, don't be afraid, just have faith. In other words, keep your eyes on me. He did. And then everybody's ridiculing Jesus, and it would have been hard for Jairus not to break down. But he did. He kept his eyes on Jesus. And we know how the story turned out. A great miracle. We see the same thing in this woman with a hemorrhage. She said, if I but touch Jesus' garment, I will be cured. She kept her eyes of faith right on Jesus. Wouldn't take her eyes off of him. And when she touched Jesus, to illustrate that it wasn't just magic. You touch this divine electricity and all of a sudden all your ills go away. But faith in her that worked this. He turned around in a crowd that was bustling against him the entire time and said, who touched me? Probably everybody around him had touched him. But he knew that somebody had touched him in faith. And he wanted to see who it was. Both for her sake as well as for the sake of everybody else. That it wasn't just an accidental collision that led to her blood flow drying up after a decade and more. But it was her faith. She came up wondering if she was in trouble with fear and trembling. After all, she was contagious, because she was bleeding, she was incapable of going into the temple, and anybody who touched her would be incapable of going into the temple until the ritual ablution. So with fear and trembling, she approached Jesus. And he said, daughter, don't be afraid. Your faith has saved you. That is what it means to keep our eyes fixed on Jesus, our leader, the one who shows us what happens with faith. It's tough in the midst of storms. It's tough in the midst of sin and temptation to always keep our eyes on him. There are so many distractions, and the devil's constantly trying to get us to take our eyes off of the Lord Jesus. But this is the means to perseverance. If we really keep our eyes on the Lord and love him, then everything changes. In today's responsorial psalm, they will praise you, Lord, who long for you. Those who hunger for you, those are the ones who will praise you forever. That's what gives us the motivation to run this race. Because if we love him, we can't wait to be embraced with him. If we love him, it doesn't matter if we have to suffer along the way, provided that we know an eternal embrace with him is the prize. So if they want to chop off our arms one by one, like the martyrs, they'll do it, because we know as soon as we die, we'll get all our arms back to hug him forever. Today, as we come forward, let us keep our eyes fixed on Jesus in the Eucharist, the source and the summit of our life, the perfecter and leader of our faith, and ask him for the grace never to take our eyes off his beautiful visage.